from ABC News. World News This Week. I'm Chuck Sievertson in New York. Coming up,
it was designed to help us over the course of a year, not 60 days.
President Biden defends his response to the pandemic as Republicans denounce his infrastructure plan.
I mean, that's just phony math.
Vaccine incentives for young people.
To counteract the vaccine resistance we seem to be running into.
The withdrawal from Afghanistan officially underway.
It's their country. They've been leading the fight for several years now.
Emotional reunions for families separated at the border, and a sound that's literally out of this world. The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues.
Once upon a time, there were children who didn't know the magic of books. They hadn't discovered stories that would take them to amazing places, grow their imaginations, teach them incredible things, and prepare them for bright futures. Do you remember the magic of your first book? Now you too can give stories that change lives. Go to firstbook.org/beinspired and help give new books to children who need them. Be inspired to give all children a chance to live happily ever after.
This week, we got a glimpse of how the economy is recovering from the worst pandemic the world has seen in over a century. More than 100 million Americans are now fully vaccinated, but the rate of vaccinations appears to be leveling off, and it may be affecting rehiring. On Friday, the Labor Department revealed 266,000 jobs were added in the month of March. That's way below what Wall Street predicted, but the Biden administration says it's actually pretty good. ABC's Aaron Katursky explains why some people think jobs are not bouncing back faster.
The modest gains in the monthly jobs report reflected in part the struggle of businesses to find workers. In Erie, Pennsylvania, we met salon owner Jen, who said pandemic jobless benefits may be too generous.
In a way, I think people are being incentivized to stay home because the unemployment is just bottomless right now.
If you had to hire somebody here, could you find a worker?
People are definitely not as eager to apply. I mean, I would normally have people calling and asking if we were hiring, and I have not had that at all.
Too much government help may be a common perception or a convenient political talking point, but Wells Fargo senior economist Mark Vintner said there are other things keeping workers from rejoining the labor force.
Part of that may be the extension of unemployment benefits, but I think a bigger part is in the April employment period, which goes from mid-March to mid-April. A lot of folks were probably more concerned about getting their COVID shots.
And schools had not fully reopened, so child care may have kept some workers home. Right now, there are more openings than there are unemployed people. Vintner said every construction firm is hiring, and the country is more than a million truck drivers short. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Shortly after the jobs report came out, President Biden said he wanted to provide perspective, as ABC's Karen Travers tells us.
With a weaker-than-expected April jobs report, President Biden defended his administration's push to put money into the economy with the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package he signed into law in March.
When we passed the American Rescue Plan, I want to remind everybody, it was designed to help us over the course of a year, not 60 days.
The president said his administration's efforts are starting to make an impact on the economy, but insisted no one should underestimate the challenge of getting the nation back on track, saying there's still a lot of digging to get out of a, quote, very deep hole. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
The president was backed up by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who said the U.S. is actually seeing an increase in job searches. But the lower-than-expected jobs number put the Biden administration on defense as the president tries to pressure Republicans to back his multi-trillion-dollar infrastructure plan. On Thursday, the president visited Louisiana to rally support among voters in the Ruby Red State. ABC's Andy Field has more on the president's trip.
The president standing near a badly worn Lake Charles, Louisiana bridge saying he doesn't understand Republicans' resistance to his infrastructure plan.
I've never seen a Republican or Democrat road. I just see roads.
President Biden saying he's willing to compromise, but insists the nation must include far more than roads and bridges to make sure the country stays connected. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Republicans say they're willing to work with the president if he's willing to scale back his plan. They say it's too expensive and includes lots of items that are not traditionally considered infrastructure. Here's what Senator John Barrasso said on ABC's This Week.
This is a staggering amount of spending, like someone with a new credit card. And these are for things that we don't necessarily need. We certainly can't afford, but they're going to delight the liberal left of the party.
Senator Barrasso also pushed back on the plan to pay for the package with increased taxes on wealthy individuals and large corporations.
Anybody that says this is going to be on just the 1% or big corporations, I mean, that's just phony math.
Of course, key to getting the economy back on track is getting the coronavirus pandemic under control. This week, we saw some vaccination sites scale back appointments, not due to a lack of supply, but due to a lack of demand. Health experts say one of the biggest challenges is convincing young, healthy people to get their shots. The vaccine is mandatory beginning in the fall at many universities, but officials want students to get vaccinated now. So they're starting to offer incentives, as ABC's Alex Stone tells us.
In the L.A. County town of Lancaster, Mayor R. Rex Parris is offering teens who get fully vaccinated the chance of winning scholarships.
To get the young people vaccinated, to give them an incentive to doing it, but also to counteract the vaccine resistance we seem to be running into.
It comes as health officials here in L.A. are reporting a steep decline in vaccinations. Lancaster will offer $10,000, $5,000, and $1,000 scholarships. When a teen gets vaccinated, they'll be entered to win. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Meanwhile, some states are drawing closer to herd immunity. That's the percentage of the population health experts say is needed to fully reopen the economy. New York and New Jersey are hoping to hit that number by midsummer. And scientists say California could be there in just over a month. Here's ABC's Kaylee Hartung in Los Angeles.
Pfizer announcing they're starting the submission process for full approval for their COVID-19 vaccine in the U.S. This as California counts down to mid-June. This timeline in line with the state's plan to fully reopen on June 15th after a promising turnaround. Dr. Therese Hammond runs the ICU at Providence St. John's in Santa Monica. When we spoke to her in December, hospitals across Southern California were overwhelmed.
Right now, my ICU looks like an absolute war zone.
Here we are talking 5 months later.
We're starting to see a little bit of the emergence of you know, the spring and summer that we hope to see. We unfortunately had someone die yesterday of COVID, so it's still there.
As the pandemic's death toll keeps climbing, the CDC predicts the U.S. could surpass 600,000 deaths by Memorial Day. Now all eyes are on vaccines. The question is if and when they'll be authorized for children. Moderna announcing its vaccine is 96% effective in 12 to 17-year-olds. But not all parents are jumping to sign their kids up right away. One poll finding just 3 in 10 parents are planning to get their 12 to 15-year-olds vaccinated immediately. 25% say they will wait and see how the vaccine's working. And nearly a quarter say they will not vaccinate their child.
That was ABC's Kaylee Hartung in Los Angeles. Meanwhile, in much of the world, the pandemic has only gotten worse. That's especially true in India, which the World Health Organization says now makes up for roughly half of all new cases globally. Facing increased calls to lend a hand, the Biden administration announced Wednesday it now supports waiving patents for COVID vaccines. The move would allow countries to copy and make their own vaccines without risking legal action from drug makers. But it needs support from other wealthy countries, and not everybody is on board with the idea, as ABC's Megan Williams explains.
The head of the World Trade Organization says President Biden's support of waiving intellectual property rules for COVID vaccines will give an impetus to address global vaccine inequality. I'm ABC's Megan Williams in Rome.
Over 100 developing countries have joined South Africa and India in asking for the waiver.
For intellectual property rules, said WTO Director General Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala from a virtual conference organized in Florence, Italy. Other countries, though, like Germany, say the move would disincentivize research and innovation by cutting too deeply into profits and not necessarily increase volumes of vaccines to the poorest countries.
80% of the world's exports of vaccines is concentrated in 10 countries in North America, South Asia, and Europe. Africa, a continent of 1.3 billion people, imports 99% of its vaccines.
Okonjo-Iweala called for member states to sit down and negotiate a pragmatic solution that takes into account the range of concerns. Megan Williams, ABC News, Rome.
Moving on to the war in Afghanistan, where this week marked the beginning of the end for America's longest war. The U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan officially began on May 1st, with the last troops expected out of the country by September 11th. But as American service members leave, military leaders reveal the Taliban has launched 80 to 100 attacks on Afghan security forces every day for the past year. At the Pentagon Thursday, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin addressed concerns that the Taliban could easily overrun the country once the U.S. is gone.
Well, we're hopeful that the Afghan security forces will play the major role in stopping the Taliban. And I know what we're seeing unfold is what we expected to unfold, increased pressure.
Standing beside the secretary was General Mark A. Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the nation's highest-ranking military officer. General Milley said a Taliban victory is not a foregone conclusion.
I mean, there's 300-plus thousand Afghan army, Afghan police. It's their country. They've been leading the fight for several years now.
And on Thursday, the Army announced plans for a major change internally by placing a civilian in charge of criminal investigations. The announcement followed a string of murders and other crimes at Fort Hood, Texas. More from ABC's Louis Martinez.
The Army's move to make a civilian the top investigator was prompted by a recommendation in the Army's review of how Fort Hood handled the disappearance and murder of Vanessa Guillen. The 20-year-old private was sexually harassed by a superior on two occasions. That supervisor was not connected to her murder, but the Army admits the harassment was never investigated. Now the Army wants to make criminal probes more efficient and provide more experience to investigators. Louis Martinez, ABC News, The Pentagon.
So far, few details from the Army on exactly when or how the change will happen. Now to Minneapolis, where George Floyd's convicted killer faces new charges. A federal grand jury indicted Derek Chauvin and three other ex-police officers Friday with civil rights crimes for their roles in Floyd's death last year. The indictments were unsealed days after Chauvin's defense team asked for a new trial. ABC's T.J. Holmes explains why.
Derek Chauvin wants a new trial. The legal team for the convicted murderer made the request in a court motion, saying Chauvin, convicted last month in the killing of George Floyd, did not get a fair trial, citing multiple grounds, including jury misconduct. This comes amid new questions about juror Brandon Mitchell. Mitchell is seen wearing a Black Lives Matter hat and a shirt with a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that says, "Get your knee off our necks." That image has raised questions about his impartiality. Mitchell tells the Star Tribune his uncle posted the photo last August after attending the March on Washington to commemorate MLK's I Have a Dream speech, and that he did not view it as a march for George Floyd or against police brutality. Mitchell says he was honest during jury selection when asked about his opinions of protests and Black Lives Matter. This is how Mitchell responded at the time.
Black Lives Matter is just a statement. People of black, you know, pigment, their lives matter.
In its filing, Chauvin's legal team says the former officer deserves a new trial, saying the court denied requests for a change of venue, failed to sequester the jury, and claims the media attention prevented a fair trial, saying the publicity here was so pervasive and so prejudicial before and during this trial that it amounted to a structural defect in the proceedings. Mitchell says none of this had any influence on the deliberations or the verdict.
ABC's T.J. Holmes reporting. Hours earlier in St. Cloud, Minnesota, a dramatic 9-hour hostage standoff at a bank. ABC's Kenneth Moten with details.
A dramatic end to an hours-long hostage situation in Minnesota. Just before 2 p.m. on Thursday, police say disgruntled customer Ray McNeary walked into this Wells Fargo bank in St. Cloud, upset about a prior visit. The manager quickly called 911, afraid for the safety of the employees and other customers.
Short time later, we received a panic alarm indicating that a bank robbery was in process.
When police arrived, they say McNeary was holding five employees inside. 4 hours into the tense standoff, one hostage was seen leaving the bank with her hands up.
Oh, there goes another one.
Bystanders clapping as another hostage walked out, followed by two more. 9 hours after it all started, McNeary could be seen holding one last person near the bank's entrance. Oh. Then this moment, that hostage leaping out of the door.
Stay safe! That was that hostage.
FBI agents and police rushing in, taking that suspect into custody.
In Idaho, authorities say a shooting at a middle school could have been far worse if not for the quick actions of a teacher. ABC's Will Carr reports from Idaho Falls.
Authorities say a sixth grade girl pulled a handgun out of her backpack on Thursday and started shooting inside Rigby Middle School. She then moved outside where she continued to fire.
We heard one gunshot, and then right after we heard another, and we heard multiple kids screaming. My friends and I were freaking out, and we were hiding in the corner of our classroom.
Krista Knighting, a teacher, confirming to ABC News that she's the one who authorities say disarmed the shooter and detained her until police arrived. Three people, two students and a custodian, were injured and rushed to the hospital.
Like, everyone was, like, crying. They were hugging their parents.
The lockdown, teachers switching off lights, computers shut down, students lining the walls until they could leave to reunite with their parents.
Me and my friends were, like, all crying and texting our moms and saying that what is going on right now, we were all very scared.
ABC's Will Carr in Idaho Falls, Idaho. In South Carolina, a group of elementary school children were terrorized by an Army trainee who hijacked their school bus. It happened Thursday near Fort Jackson. ABC's Steve Osunsami with what authorities are saying about the harrowing ordeal.
A South Carolina sheriff is releasing a portion of the surveillance video showing how an Army trainee hijacked a school bus with 18 children inside who were on their way to classes.
That is just a few seconds of the 6 minutes that these kids and the bus driver were very traumatized and feared their life.
The 23-year-old is seen in his Army training uniform with an Army-issued rifle, forcing his way onto the bus and pointing the gun at the driver. Police are identifying him as Javon Collazo and say he was trying to leave the military and wanted the bus driver to get him to the next town so he could get home to New Jersey.
The kids were asking questions. Are you a soldier? Are you going to hurt us? Are you going to hurt the bus driver?
10-year-old Keandre James is on the bus calling his parents.
I called my dad and so I was telling him that I was being held hostage.
At one point, the fourth grader felt that he had to hide his phone.
He didn't call back and he didn't text back. So that's just when I just went into panic mode.
The sheriff says that after several minutes, the 23-year-old stopped the bus and let the bus driver and kids get off. Police arrested him shortly after. Collazo is now charged with 19 counts of kidnapping, armed robbery, carjacking, and more. He had only been in basic training for 3 weeks and won it out. His commander says they don't believe he intended to hurt anyone.
Officials at Fort Jackson issued an apology to the community. They said the suspect's rifle was not loaded, but there is no way the children or the bus driver would have known that. Moving overseas to Italy, where two Americans in their early 20s could spend the rest of their lives in prison. 21-year-old Finnegan Lee Elder and 20-year-old Gabriel Natali were convicted of attempted extortion and murdering a police officer. They were each given a life sentence. It all started in 2019 with a drug deal gone bad. ABC's Maggie Rooley takes it from there.
During the trial, Finnegan Elder told the court that the police never identified themselves.
They didn't even say policia.
Non hanno neanche detto polizia.
Which sounds like the English word police.
The case dominating headlines in Italy. The officer had just been married a month before. His wife attending every day in court. There tonight, holding on tight to his photo.
Both men are expected to appeal. Back here in the U.S., we expected to learn this week whether President Trump will be allowed back on Facebook. But Wednesday's decision by an oversight board provided little clarity. Details from ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
The oversight board says former President Trump's suspension from Facebook and Instagram should stay in place. But it also says Facebook was wrong to impose an indefinite ban on the former president in the wake of the January 6th Capitol attack. In a statement, Facebook says it's clear it made the right choice to remove Trump's accounts for his comments inciting violence and spreading misinformation. But the oversight board's decision puts Facebook in charge of deciding within 6 months how long the ban will stay in place. The company says Trump's accounts will stay suspended until that decision is made. In a statement, Trump said what Facebook, Twitter, and Google have done is a, quote, total disgrace. Elizabeth Schulze, ABC News, Washington.
And a moving scene in Philadelphia this week. After years apart, some migrant families separated by the Trump administration are together once again. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Cecilia Vega has their stories.
3 years, 7 months, and 13 days after this mother last saw her sons, they are a family reunited. They're among the thousands of parents and children forcibly separated under the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy. mom, Mabel, deported back to Honduras, the very country she fled because of violence. Her sons, Mino and Eric, 13 and 15 at the time, staying behind with family in the U.S. At a family gathering in Philadelphia, they had no idea their mom was coming in until she walked through the door. I love you, she tells them, their grandmother in disbelief. Advocates have spent years trying to find parents in Mexico and Central America. The Biden administration says the Trump White House left them with little to no information about many of the families. There are still more than 400 children whose parents have yet to be located. Sandra Ortiz, among four families this week reunited under the Biden administration. She hugged her son Brian for the first time in more than 3 years. Deported to Mexico without him, Brian stayed with older siblings in California, learning English, graduating high school a year early.
It feels like a dream.
The administration says more families will be reunited soon, but for now, tears of joy. This mother saying, I love you, my beautiful son.
Sound of that emotional reunion was provided by Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center. The families granted temporary legal status by the Biden administration. Coming up, it was a busy week in outer space, too. Get the full rundown when World News This Week continues.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
What a week it was in outer space. ABC's Michelle Franzen with all that happened on the final frontier.
If you think it's been hard to keep track of things here on Earth, try keeping up with all that's going on in space. For the first time, NASA's Perseverance Mars rover used one of its two microphones to listen as the Ingenuity helicopter flew for the fourth time at the end of April. A new video combines footage of the solar-powered helicopter imager with audio from the microphone belonging to the rover's SuperCam laser instrument. That's NASA's description. It was a busy time for human travel, too. SpaceX Dragon Crew 1 members returning from the International Space Station aboard the Crew Dragon Resilience.
Resilience, it is back on planet Earth.
After spending 6 months at the ISS, they spent a week with Crew 2 members from SpaceX's second mission.
And we'll take those miles. Are they transferable?
SpaceX also successfully landing its Starship rocket, which it plans to take to the Red Planet one day. Adding to the mix, the 23-ton chunk of Chinese rocket hurling back to Earth, burning through the atmosphere Saturday. The threat of scattered debris in the skies and hitting the ground lingering all week here on Earth. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
And those are the people and events that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Chris Howell. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
When breaking news changes the world, ABC News, accurate, credible, and unmatched. On Twitter, at ABC News Radio.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.